Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't seen you around the way. Not around the way no more. You wanna find me? I'm right here.
Hey, yo, remember, man, talk this shit up when you hit them bricks.
Best way to get more involved is to tell people about the benefits of this here thing. No beefing, no drama, just business. Anybody got problems with anybody else here, we bring it to the group. We ain't gotta take it to the streets. Alright, let's do it.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show with host Smith and that's Mike Real and Diamond Day.
Mike Real, but you can call me Mr.
This is the Unconcealed.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
This is Mr. Naz.
Out of the New Jersey and New York area, the Unconcealed Talk Show.
Diamond D.
This is Unconcealed.
If you're the common denominator of relationships and work and all that, then maybe they ain't the problem. Maybe you are the problem.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show with
Mrs. Unconcealed.
We all have certain challenges that we face during adolescence, young adulthood, and by now, damn it, if you haven't gotten together, it's your own fault.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
Look, come on now.
Right.
You know, you go through stuff you're going through, you know, and man, people don't understand. People do understand. You keep putting yourself in the same situation. Look, you're home.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show with host Smith and that's Mike Real and Diamond Day.
Back in the building. Once again, welcome to the Unconcealed Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Naz, and of course, the one and only lovely Miss Diamond D. What's going on?
What up? I'm still excited. How are you?
Oh, feeling blessed. What you got? How was your week?
I'm feeling blessed as well. My week was good. Everybody knows how my week started off on Mellow Mondays. I bought a little eye candy for the ladies. They still hit me up. It was like, who is this Mr. Naz you talk to every single Wednesday? I'm tuning in, and I'm going to hear his voice. So for anybody that missed Monday's show, it's on our pages, on the Diamond D Show page. It's also on the Unconcealed Talk Show page, and it's on Periscope because Mellow Mondays is produced by Basement Life. So on Periscope,
yes,
the official video is on there under Basement Life 41. It was fun. It was nice for
yes.
people to see you in person, right? Didn't that feel good?
It was, seriously.
Yeah.
Nah, real talk. And I want to honestly say, first of all, thank you to you, of course, for pulling me out of the bat cave and out of, you know, and making me come on out. Also, I want to thank you for the hospitality of the brothers, and I'm going to say sisters of Basement Life,
yes,
for welcoming me, making me feel welcome, and I really appreciate it. That's
what it's about over there. It's about family, because when you say Basement Life, people are sometimes confused, but it's just like back in the day, right, where you went to auntie's house, and everybody went
mm-hmm.
to the basement to play cards, but the
yeah.
basement had all the music, the food, the drinks, and that's what we do over there. So I'm just glad that you were able to join us, that you were willing.
I enjoyed myself. So, again, thank you so much, Diamond, and, of course, Basement Life, and, of course, Mellow Mondays for holding a brother down. Salute, of course.
Was it really?
Yeah, no,
course.
I felt good. Felt good. People
you
see
know,
me,
I heard...
and I try to hide.
But no,
because you know they say
people
that talk on the radio and podcast, they like they can't be on TV.
No, but you should, because people are very visual. We talk about the microwave generation when we talk about the millennials, but for our generation, we want to see what we're getting into. We are very visual people. Technology, everybody's right at our fingertips. They want to see you, even though they're just listening to us and our personalities. They enjoy. People want to know who they're listening to. Like, and I don't understand it, but they don't want to listen to McGill a Gorilla in the Window. They don't.
Oh, my God, McGillicuddy.
I wasn't talking to McGillicuddy every Wednesday, but again, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. But, you know, I did. I enjoyed the topic. I enjoyed it. But hold up. Before we go any further, we gotta do something better. So I'm going to bring the intro, and we're going to get into it real quick. Check this out.
We got to do better.
Do better. Better.
We got to do better.
Do better.
Better.
Well, in this segment of We Got to Do Better, of course, created by the one and only Ms. Diamond D, we're going to do a spinoff. So for those who tune into the Mellow Mondays, we had a topic. We kind of went off kilter, but I think it kind of flowed appropriate because the same thing that we kind of went off, the topic just a little bit, the same way this famous entertainer went off topic a little bit. Actually, he was kind of bamboozled into it. So with that
he really was.
So, you said on the show, you didn't hear his response, and I said I was making a promise to those listening to the show who tuned in to Mellow Mondays that I will have the response. Now, I didn't do the entirety because it had been too long, taking most of the damn show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play Tank's response on The Breakfast Club. So salute to The Breakfast Club for interviewing Tank. I'm going to make sure I give them their props and also give props to Hot 97 for holding it down. So let's drop that real quick.
This is the way I understood the quote. I still have not heard the audio.
Okay.
I only saw it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by the way, I had to go look for it. It hadn't even come across my feed.
Right. Good.
Tank says, just because you've had a same-sex encounter,
mm-hmm.
it does not make you gay. Is that the quote?
More or less. That's the sentiment.
That's the sentiment.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
And why... How did you come to this conclusion? Is this your own personal experience?
Okay. First of all, I don't know how we got there. We was talking about lying, right?
Lying. Okay.
So that's how the two incident thing came up. So if a person lies twice, are they a liar? Well, I don't know if they're a liar. They lie twice, but I don't know if they've necessarily developed a skill to be called a liar after two lies.
And what you're talking about now is nuance and semantics and things that the internet is terrible
horrible
at handling.
Horrible at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then Angela thinks it's a great idea to bring up penises.
Oh, so she went to trap you. She went to get you.
She went left.
No, she went to get you.
Yeah, and I said, you know what? This is great. Let's do this. I said, no, it doesn't make them gay. Because I believe that a journey or experimentation doesn't label you until you make the decision on exactly where you want to go with it.
Is that what? And obviously, you're probably hearing from people who don't live any of these lifestyles passing judgment on your statement.
Well, it went from me commenting on a third party conversation to all of a sudden, Tank said he's tried it twice.
Now, so is that a part of your sexual journey?
It's not a part of my sexual journey. It's never been a part of my sexual journey. It's never going to be a part of my sexual journey. Applaud, God bless the people who've had to have that journey in order to find themselves sexually. I'm not speaking to every situation, right? Some people know clear cut as day.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they know what they want, they know what they want, period, point blank. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking about that there are people who are lost in trying to figure themselves out in that space.
In all spaces.
Well, again, salute to The Breakfast Club for Hot 97 to get credit for the interview. Of course, we'll make sure to acknowledge that, of course. So now you heard the response. What is your take on it?
I told y'all. That's it. I told y'all. That's my total response. I told y'all. Because... like he said, everybody, you hear something, you take it, they take it on social media, and Tank say he gay, Tank say he's two times. No, he did not. And because I was so heartbroken when I initially read the post from third party hearsay, what have you, I had to go and find the original interview, and I listened to the entire show myself. I listened to it from beginning to end, just in case later on he changed his mind from what he said within the first 5 minutes of that show. The first 5 minutes of that show, he said exactly what he just what we just listened to, and he didn't say that he was gay or, you know, the, I'm just relieved that he has never had that sexual experience, because in my mind, Tank is my side piece. And we got a whole relationship. So when I was just listening to him talk, you honestly, for our entire 90-minute show, could have just played that clip, because I was just very comfortable listening to his voice.
Yeah. You know what? Well, I mean, I want to first of all salute Tank. I think he explained his stance on it smart, like a black man. And whatever, you know, being prejudgmental of whatever, you're not knowing all the facts. You know, we as society have a bad habit of doing that. So salute to Tank on that one. And, you know, he cleared the air. I mean, not that he had to, not that he needed to, but professional-wise, you know, he addressed the issue. So I salute to him. So let's keep this going on. We got
to
do better. So and part of this segment is we keep on, we got
to
do better. Oh, man, I'm going to say a couple of things, and I need your response in this. You know, ladies and gentlemen, those who are tuning in, welcome to the Unconcealed Talk Show. Our old line is open, 516-595-8127. If you have, you know, when I check the board and I'm asking you, do you want to talk? Let us know. You want to listen? You want to talk? Let us know. You know, but anyway.
Talk to us.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to say a couple things. You give me a response. In Houston, a group of juveniles, young as 11 years old, goes on a robbery spree of elderly. All right, another news clip. Three juveniles charged out of Charlottesville, Virginia, arrested for assault on the elderly. In our parts, two teens gang assault on a 79-year-old man in Queens. Also in Honolulu, juveniles, purse snatching attack that led to the death of an elderly woman. I bring all these news events because evidently there's an epidemic going on against the elderly. Now, I say that to you. I want to hear your response, and I know CDC has been responding to that. Now, people say, well, why CDC? Yeah, you know, control disease, you know, Center of Disease Control, excuse me, because they have reported that Americans 60 years and older is on a rise of being victims of violence. The report states that non-fatal assaults against men 60 and older has increased by 75.4% between 2002 to 2016. Now, the rate of non-fatal assault against women 60 years and older, it rose by 35.4. And this is, now that was as of 2016. Mm-hmm. It's increasing. What is going on? I mean, what do we do? Besides, whoops on some ass.
Which response you want? Because, you
know. I don't
know.
I mean, we got to do better. It's juvenile.
We have to do better. We first need to start at home. These damn parents. These parents, there's no fear. These children don't have any fear. They're not instilled. The value of respecting your elders is not instilled in them. Some of these grandparents so damn young, you know, when we think of people this age, right now we're thinking of our parents, but when we were younger, at the ages where these children are assaulting, the first thing you would do is think of your grandparents. There are no present grandparents, you know, grandparents, and I'm sorry, I'm a young grandmother myself, but my name is Granny, and my granddaughter sees me as an old, lovable granny. They're not getting those values at home, so then they don't respect the elders in the street. But I promise you, my father will be 79 in a few days on November 4th, and the man in New York, I immediately thought of my father, and I always grew up looking up to my father. He's a strong man, and he's older now. He's 79, and I start to see weaknesses in him, you know, and I just imagine one of these little, excuse me, but we are not FCC regulated yet, so I'm going to say what I
want
to say. I see one of these young
punk
asses, and I imagine them doing that to my father, and I promise you, I and my brothers would have found him before the police did, because thankfully the police found them, or they turned themselves in or what have you. They've been arrested. But the victim in New York, do you know that he absolutely said that he does not wish for them to be punished. He wants them to have treatment because they have psychological issues. God bless that man, because I'm not there. I know the Lord, but we're not that close yet. He is not in my spirit that way yet, because I get it, they need healing. But you beat me for no reason whatsoever. This is some coward stuff. They say that sometimes it's gang initiation. I don't care what it is. You keep your hands to yourself. These are innocent elderly people that cannot defend themselves. But you notice they go against elderly. There's normally more than one. Look at some of them same videos. Every once in a while you'll catch in one of the ratchet videos that we don't like to share, but I do watch them. I'm not going to say that I'm better, but I don't share them. Every once in a while you find one of these young kids that ran up on an OG and they get their ass whooped. And I applaud the OGs every time one of these young punk asses run up on them and they laid them out with that 1972 two-piece. I am excited
That's
about
right.
it. Respect your elders. You keep walking up on these old people, but they walk up in groups, two or more. They don't walk up one-on-one. They're a bunch of punk asses. It sickens me to my core, but it starts at home. We start basic. It starts with basic respect. You respect your elders. If we even looked at grandma or grandpa a certain kind of way or thought we was going to talk slick to them, mama and daddy was checking us immediately, and we dare not do it to their friends or any other elders in the neighborhood. It starts right there. It starts at home, basic respect.
But what if the problem, I mean, all right, I know it starts at home, but what if I've seen some parents is just as ignorant, if not more ignorant than some of our
juveniles.
I mean, where was it? Do we hold the parents accountable? I mean, you know, all right, for prime example. All right, I'm going to say this. Kids hanging out in the middle of the night. Well, first of all, where the hell is your kid at? Why your kid is out in the middle of the night or 11 or 12 or 1, 2, getting himself in trouble? You don't check on them, or you're not home, or you're at the bar, club, you run the streets.
They believe
that
they're not there. Correct.
Exactly. Now, how do we hold those people accountable, these parents?
So this is what
certain towns do it.
Your child, and there's a lot of cities that do this. If your child is a minor, commits a crime, you're charged. There it is right there. Charge your parents. You don't take.
But how do you? I mean, how does the parents control an out of control teen? I mean, here it is. You start in the womb.
Martin Lawrence said a long time ago. You just stick your head
in the womb. You can't beat the kids right out the womb. You can't beat out the womb.
Yes, Mike. Hey, you can't.
You can't start in the womb. Diamond,
you ain't got to beat them.
Oh,
you ain't got to beat them out the womb. You start to use an authoritative voice. You start to look. That's why they say look at them. Look at them. You start.
But these kids get used to it. They come used to the yelling. They come used to these things.
That's why
they come
you
used
find
to that. So
to
now we've got them strong on dealing with that. It doesn't bother them or fade them.
Mm-mm. Ask my daughter. My daughter, 32 years old. God bless her. And I was a teenage mother. I bet, and I always got her back, but if you call me to the school, if I have to leave work to be embarrassed by some dumb shit that you've done, when we get home, you will be disciplined accordingly. That's all I'm saying. She put up a post the other day that said, today's parents out here scared to spank their kids. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here remembering the time my mother factory reset my life with a slap. Absolutely. You need a reset. Boop, boop.
But you know what? I'm glad you said that about the spankings, because we have got a society where it's, you know, a point of discipline, you know, they're being, you know, the parents are being held, they're being held accountable on a level of being in, you know, as far as charges. I mean, where's the balance at?
There's a difference in beating the hell out of
your
kids and spanking them as a disciplinary action. There is too far, you know, and too far. Our parents sometimes went too far. You understand what I'm saying? But
well, and I ain't gonna lie to you. I mean, getting hit in the head with the belt buckle, that hurts. I mean, damn.
Ouch.
You know what I mean?
But you learned your lesson.
But
you learned your lesson. You never did.
I learned
to
duck.
That particular
I learned
action,
my ass
not
to duck. I had
exactly.
to duck.
Exactly. You know, so no, we have to, whatever disciplinary actions your children respond to. My granddaughter, she'll be 4. Actually on the same day as my dad. I got a big birthday week coming up, and then my daughter's on November 8th. I'm all excited about this next week. But anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they all hit me in the same week. But even tonight, she was here. She's in preschool, and she had to do her homework. Her name is Mia. It starts with the letter M. She looked at the M and was like, that's okay. Like, what? Where are we doing it?
Oh, God, she said, that's okay.
You know, so he has, yeah, that's okay. Like, really? What we're not going to be is dumb. But right there, then and there, she got jumped by me and her mother. She got verbally jumped. Like, Mia, we are not about to do this. You are very smart. What is that letter? It starts with the same letter as your first name. It's a family effort. You know what I mean? She has to know, yeah, I can run to granny, but not for certain things. You're going to be disciplined. So that discipline was, we're all laughing, ha ha, he he. She thought saying that was a K was going to be another joke because we joke a lot. That's not a joke. We're very serious. What letter is that? You understand what I'm saying? So it's a level of this. What do they respond to? She wanted to pretend she didn't know her colors. Well, you know what? Then you don't have a birthday party. This is yellow. This is green. It's different levels. Whatever your child responds to.
Now, do you think
some children don't respond
to that? Is it more
therapeutic?
Do you think it's more therapeutic? We got the parents that are doing these things. Do you think we need to provide more of a therapeutic response like that gentleman in New York is asked? I mean, he said he wanted to press charges, like you said. But he said he wants to get therapy. I mean, is that enough?
It depends on how far gone they are. That's what I think. And you can give them therapy, but if that therapy, the disciplines that are taught or spoken to in that therapy are not being reinforced at home, what good is it? If mama's still going to be a black and mild ratchet smoking in the room, drinking her Taylor Port or whatever she's doing and ignoring her child, again,
right.
You know, we talked the other day about closing the achievement gap. We can't just count on the therapists and the teachers to do this because what I learned outside of the home, if I come home and mama and daddy, wherever he is in the house or outside the house, because we're not going to act like all fathers are absent because that's not the case. So we're not going to just talk about what mama's doing, what the parents in general are doing. If they're not reinforcing the things that are being taught in school, in therapy in certain cases, and, you know, counseling sessions, group therapy, if you have kids that come, whatever it is, if the parents aren't reinforcing it, it's useless. It's useless.
I agree.
Yeah, therapy is nice, but it's useless if the techniques aren't being reinforced at home, period.
I agree. I totally agree. Now, on top of that, I think not only will we hold these children accountable in the legal system, I'm not talking about, you know, to the magnitude, depends on the crime, I guess, case-by-case scenario, but I think the family, it becomes a family thing. It is not just put it on the kid. You know, let's find out the bigger picture. Let's peel back the onion on this. Let's find out.
It's generational.
Why.
It goes back. You know, that goes with knowing better, doing better, right? It goes back. Mm. And people don't do their history. Spanking is one thing. Getting the brakes beat off your ass and all that old school, going to get a switch and getting beat with an extension cord and all that, God bless my parents. They knew better, so they did better. That doesn't mean I didn't get my ass beat. But I didn't get beat with switches and things like that. I didn't have to go in a yard because they were trying to do better. But that goes all the way back to slavery. All the way back to slavery, and we didn't know. Master disciplined us that way, so we in turn disciplined our children that way, and then generation after generation. But at some point, one of the generations in the family, it's got to stop. We have to realize that this is not the right way. It wasn't effective for whatever reasons, you know, and do better. Find something different. Now, believe me, I'm all for spankings. Don't sit up here and think the diamond is saying don't spank your kid. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we have to know better and do better.
I agree. Now, with that being said, now, we both made an agreement. We're not talking about him, 45, this week. Mm-mm. We're not doing it.
No,
it's just too
much.
I
don't feel like it. He gives me a headache.
I can't. However, I do want to acknowledge and give a salute to this gentleman right here. Let me drop this little hook right there.
From the river to the soup, the whole pig
didn't marry me from my cooking.
Got that right, baby.
I want to give an acknowledgement to the one and only and legendary recently deceased John Witherspoon. Great actor, great comedian, great man. Done a lot of things. All the Friday series for the voice of the grandfather in Boondocks to Boomerang. Was that Vampire in Brooklyn, the Wayans Brothers. Just a good dude, good man overall. So I want to make sure we acknowledge this, you know, because, you know, when you watch him, you listen to him, you enjoyed yourself. You know,
absolutely.
You enjoyed yourself.
In his bio, you know, I read it and I was looking, you know, because I was a fan of his. And they didn't mention that he was in an episode or two of Good Time.
That's right, he was in Good Times.
And I'm like, how come this isn't in his wiki or in his bio anywhere? But that's where he really started. So people think that he was just around since Friday, you know, the Friday series and, you know, the Wayans Brothers and the other shows. But no, he's been around for a very long time. So many years, and he was so seasoned. And I follow a lot of comedians locally and some nationally known, a lot of them nationally known. And I never got to actually meet John Witherspoon, but I felt like I knew him. He was Pops.
He was on 5 Heartbeats. The Friday,
right.
He was introducing the groups. Oh, my God, one of my favorite movies, by the way.
Yeah, so he will be sorely missed. And he was still on tour. He was still doing his thing.
Yeah.
He was only, 77 years old?
Yes, he is. God bless him. God bless.
Yeah.
Condolences and prayers to the family. You know, I want to make sure we acknowledge that. But what I want to do is we're going to drop this our commercial break, because we have a strong topic. I know when you talk behind the scenes, we want to make sure we gave enough time to jump in it with both feet. This topic tonight is going to be a good one, you guys. So let's go to the commercial break real quick, and let's come dive into this.
Absolutely.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show, brought to you by Shadow Worlds Radio.
Again, welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. It is time.
It's now time for the Unconcealed Main Topic. It's now time for the Unconcealed Main Topic. It's now time for the Unconcealed Main Topic.
Again, welcome to the Unconcealed Talk Show. Yours truly, Mr. Nass, and of course, the lovely Miss Diamond D. Tonight's topic, it's not worth it. As we acknowledge and bring awareness to domestic violence, when me and Diamond talk about different topics, I know we both brought the ladies in, and Diamond's going to talk about that a little later. We felt it's appropriate to tackle this topic of domestic violence, because sometimes we dance around the subject, but we don't go into the subject. And you know Diamond, she's doing the research. She's behind the scenes. She's got that thing moving. She's researching. So she's made sure that you're informed. So, Diamond, I'm gonna pass off to you first, and I'll comment on it, on this topic. What do you want to leave off for? I got you.
All right. So this month is domestic. So is it the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, right? And it is a very, very sensitive and serious topic. Domestic violence is not just a man versus a woman. It's not just a woman versus, it can be a woman versus a man, and it can just be in the household, domestically. Anybody that you live with, that you love, that you're supposed to, that you have a close family sense relationship. And tonight, I want to get into the traits of the domestic abuser. And also, if we can, touch on why do people stay in domestic relationships. But before we get started, I want to read a statistic that the number of U.S. troops killed in Afghanistan and Iraq between 2001 and 2012 was 6,488. That's in a war. The number of women who were murdered by their male partners during that same time frame was 11,766. We are losing more women to men. And again, I'm not saying that domestic violence is one-sided, but it is more prevalent in men against women. We're losing
yes.
more women to domestic violence than we are to our troops in war. This is a war. It is a personal war that sometimes, most times, people don't feel that they have an escape from, right? So people, I'm going to talk about real quick, people who stay, because we can all say, I wouldn't stay in a domestic violence relationship, but you don't know what
right.
you would do in that particular situation. It's easy to say what you wouldn't do. People who are in an abusive relationship will stay with their partner for a number of reasons. I'm going to go over them quickly because we'll circle back to this. Their self-esteem is totally destroyed. It's a cycle of abuse, meaning the honeymoon phase that follows the physical and mental abuse makes them believe, you know, the whole thing, beat you, I love you, I'm sorry. It's dangerous to leave. Women are 70 times more likely to be killed after leaving, okay? Statistics suggest that almost 5% of male homicide victims each year are killed by an intimate partner. There's the reverse side of it. They feel personally responsible, and they share life, finances, children, homes, etc. So I wanted to start off with why people stay before our listeners went off on their own personal tangents and around the water cooling them all, talking about, fuck that, I ain't staying, because you never know what you may do.
Right.
Okay? So that's the domestic violence, and it's real. It is not a joke.
That's right. That's right. I mean, well said. Definitely well said. Well said. Now, the first part you was alluding to and getting into, can you kind of repeat that for me? Because I do want to. You just gave me a lot, and I'm taking notes here. What was the
okay.
first part that you touched on?
So the first part was the statistics.
Okay.
More women. I'm going to summarize it. More women are killed in the same period. There's about 4,000 more women killed by their male partners than there were in the war between the troops killed in Afghanistan and Iraq wars.
All right, let's hold right there. Then, let's first, for those who listen to the show, we don't believe in disclaimers and all of the bullshit. We come from a life perspective. Either we've lived it, we've been around it, we deal with it every day. So, you know, if you have an issue with what we're saying, I mean, to each his own, but we're just coming
right.
from a very honest and real perspective. It's disturbing to know that women are being killed by these punk-ass men. Or,
mm-hmm.
because it's a control issue. Let's just keep it 100 at this point. It's a control issue. You know, you have men. They can't control, you know, and I've had this talk with a lot of fellas, you know, God rest soul, my brother Mike Rail, that used to be here, and, of course, a lot of other men. It's a control issue. We either
mm-hmm.
know someone who's doing it, we may have a family member doing it, or we may even be the person ourselves. It's a control issue. I can tell you that from a man perspective. Any man want to dispute that, you're more than welcome to call in. We can definitely debate on a topic. It's a control issue because they can't get control of their lives. They they can't control their lives, their job situation, their maybe they've been bullied at work, or maybe their failures. So they take the problems out on their significant other, their wife, their children, because they can't control. And I think that's some bullshit that they figure that these weak-ass men got to sit there and hurt their women because they can't get their shit together. And it
mm-hmm.
just makes me sick to my damn stomach that these weak men. And, of course, yeah, a lot of threatening, a lot of behind the scenes, you say this, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to hurt the kids. You know, that's some real punk move. You know,
mm-hmm.
as you would say, some fuck boy stuff. It's unnecessary. It's uncalled for, and it's all about weakness of the man. A man putting your hands on another woman is no justification. That you can't justify. Now, I've heard the other side of the coin. You got women who's very strong, and we can talk about it. It's funny. I may share an experience that can deliver a good three-piece. Now, I'm not talking about the chicken. They can really drop no hammers. I mean, you know, hit no knuckles to the jaw. And then, well, what if she, you know, she just, like, straight up knocks you out? Well, you know, bro, unfortunately, again, we talked about it in the last show. We talked about Mellow Mondays. Man, y'all got to understand your weaknesses. You understand what you face with. The likelihood of you winning that argument in front of the cop is not going to work. So you got to understand, you know, you got to get out. You know, if you're stuck in situation, you got to protect your family or your kids. You do what you have to do at that point.
You know, that's another aspect. And New Jersey, just you bring up the cops, but New Jersey's sick of it. They tired of it. Everybody going to jail. Everybody's going to jail.
The cops, Jersey, New York, if both of you guys got black eyes or you're both bruised, everyone's going.
Let
the courts work
out.
And I think that's a perfect thing to do. I'm sorry.
Should have a good sense to walk away. You grown as hell. It shouldn't get to this point.
I agree.
You grown as hell. It shouldn't get to this point. And I do agree with you 100%. It's the weak man. And now, I'm just being real. You know, a lot of men have the Napoleon complex, right? So you get this little itty bitty man, and he's attracted to these big ass women. You gotta know when you see him, because if you little itty bitty man are falling in love with these big ass women, you can't really be pissing her off too much.
Is there a weight differential? Is there safety?
You stay in your weight class. You gotta stay in your weight class. Stay in your weight class. Fellas, stay in your weight class. You know, you got the Napoleon complex, because a lot of little men love bigger women. But if you're going to get the big woman, you got to get the big woman that's loving and sensitive and nurturing. Don't get the big, mean black woman. I shouldn't say mean black woman, but that's what I said.
Maybe she wants a meal. Maybe she knows. Let me shut up. I don't want to get in no trouble.
I normally say what you mean, say what you're thinking, but I heard where you was going. So you let me say
I don't want to piss off no listeners. I love y'all
all. Not tonight. But you got to stay in your weight class. If you a punk, now that does not mean that all little men can't handle their own, because some little men, they throw a mean punch. But you got to stop fighting, period. Right? So if you got the mean big woman, little man, don't piss her off, because you know she's going to hit you with the two-piece, and in some cases the one-piece, and you flat out. But
that's embarrassing. I'm sorry, man. I mean, you know, it's funny, but it's not funny.
But you know what? It's funny that you said it's embarrassing, because you know what one of the reasons? Conflicting emotions. Embarrassment. It's probably hard for you to admit to your friend that they've been abused. So they stay and just keep quiet about it, because you leave with the black eye, and then your homeboy is like, yo, why you break up with Doc Leisha?
You just said Doc Leisha? Really? Yeah. Oh, you just stereotyped it. Why can't it be Becky?
Becky don't fight as quick as Doc Leisha. Becky got more patience. Let's
I know. Hold up. No, I beg to differ, as Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but Tiger don't really care. We digress. But there are character traits of abusive people in general. Can I tell you about some of them? If you're dealing with somebody that may tend to be abusive eventually, there's a few. So you got to maybe a combination of them. Jealousy is a common character trait of an abusive person. If your partner or someone you know is constantly jealous of other human contact, it's a sign of possessiveness and a lack of trust. Your partner resents time that you spend with your family or friends and accuses you of flirting with other people. You may want to discuss it with him or her in a compassionate way. One example of jealousy in a relationship is frequent calls to check up on you. Oh, don't call me to check. I work. Seriously, don't call me to check up on me. Don't call me at work. I hit you on a text. That's it. Hypersensitivity. This one right here, hypersensitivity, the bitch-assness is what I call it.
Wow.
It's
really?
Another common trait of an abusive person. So, yes, hypersensitive. Oh, my goodness. If your partner constantly sees setbacks as being personal attacks or has a feeling that life is out to get him and her, you are likely dealing with a hypersensitive person. I know this person. They never take accountability for things that they do wrong. If you criticize them, constructive criticism, they become defensive. So this is also shown in other ways, such as the partner losing their temper quickly or developing strong emotional reactions to normal criticisms. A lot of abusers have a low self-esteem, and they typically see any kind of critique as being a threat. Also, remember, some abusers have been abused themselves, so they're acting from what they already know, but they got to know better and do better. If you didn't want it done to you, you got to seek help so that you don't do it to others. But that hypersensitivity is key right there, and a lot of abusers are narcissistic people. When they can't control you and they can't mind trick you, they take things out on you physically, and I've seen it. It's never happened to me, but we talked about that. It probably could have happened to me, but my personality and my family unit is very strong.
Well, first of all, you said your family unit. You said it could have happened to you. It just sounds like you got full force in the background.
For real, I do. Jerry curls and everything. Jerry curls
with
and
the
bags.
Tank tops and the Jerry curls and chains.
And chains, gold chains, big gold chains, straight up still. It's for real, though. And the introduction is that's my baby sister right there, you know. And then not just that, I have brothers, my biological brothers, but then I have my other brothers. And I may not even talk to them every day, but they got my back. And not that I go around like, oh, my brothers will fuck you up. But when you meet my unit. And you know what? They're not to be messed with. She is not to be messed with. First of all, throw your hands up at me. I'm kicking your ass clear out the window. That's number
one. And I think what I'm glad you said that. Well, a lot of these coward dudes, honestly, when a woman stands up to them and show them you can't do this to me, there's consequences to your actions. Once you let that know, you let that person know, the first red sign, red flag, whatever you want to call it, as soon as you let that person know from the door, you'll know what type of relationship you're in. You will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also just the fact of letting that man know, that coward know, hey, look, I got support system. You cannot get
mm-hmm.
away with that. That'll curb a lot of that shit.
It will change your whole fucking behavior. And
what do you call it? Act right? You think it's mad act right?
Right. Yes, they need some act right. And the thing of it is that I know that relationship that I was in could have become abusive. Like, he really has stepped up to me. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to step up to you. Like, get your little, back your little ass up. But in the very next relationship that coward was in, he beat the brakes off of that woman. And people would come to me and ask, did he do that to you? And I'm like, you said, no, I post pictures every day. That shit ain't never happened to me. Probably could have if I didn't stand up that very first time.
Well, definitely. We're glad, you know, that you didn't have to experience that, and I salute you, because that's not something that you should go through or any other woman should go through, period. That's it. Now, from the male side, I gotta say this real quick. From the male side, men, if you're getting abused, I mean, all right, I'm gonna be transparent, you know, because you always get me to say a little something personal here and there about myself every week. Don't know how you do it, but I'm, you know, you have this damn skill. I know. But you know, all right, rest in peace to Brother Saeed. You know, I went to a location where a lot of brothers would talk about their relationships. Yeah, brothers, it's okay to get counseling. You know, and he said something that was very, not just thought-provoking, but kind of that click moment. If you're in a relationship and you feel the urge or you feel this level of violence and it's become detrimental to your well-being, get out. Mm-hmm. And he switched to both sides. If you feel that you have to put your hands on the woman you with, You don't need to be in that relationship. You need to be to exactly. yourself and figure some things out. That's first
exactly.
of all. And he held the men accountable about that. He talked to the men, look, you don't need to be in that. Now, if you are in a relationship with a woman, she's always downgrading you, putting you down, putting her hands on you, you have a choice to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You will see it at the early part of the relationship. If you say she hasn't stopped the first time or you have that choice on the first time to leave, then do it. But there's always that
yeah.
point where you have to pay attention. Don't walk around blindsided, because I'm going to tell you something, dumb fellas. The results and the topic here, it's not worth it. Your life will be decimated when I say that. Not only get your ass kicked, if not worse. Your career,
mm-hmm.
your money, your everything that you may have had will be out the window. Be
mm-hmm.
gone. You be in a system. You're classified. You know, when they do background checks for jobs or residency or homes or whatever, that stuff can come up. So it's not
wow.
worth it. It's not
mm-hmm.
it's not worth it to try to prove some damn manhood point because your ego may have got scarred. Or you're in a relationship and you're like, this woman's a damn nut job. She's standing over me as I'm sleeping, yelling at me. Like, what the fuck?
That's you got experience. You had a little flashback right there.
Leave.
You
oh,
know.
Yeah, that was a moment, sorry.
You did. You had a moment right there. But, yeah, I mean, but sometimes it's not that easy to leave. You know, you say red flag, get out of it as soon as you see it. But some people don't have that strength. They're not able, or they believe. They believe in love. They believe in, you know.
Believe in love. See, that Fantasy Island shit. Oh, God.
That's what it is, though. They believe in it.
Or they want it. I think it goes back to what you said earlier
mm-hmm.
about insecurities. It's
mm-hmm.
insecurities. But how
they,
do you help those people who's insecure and they're looking for love and they're trying to hold on to it?
Yeah, and that's the hard part. Sometimes those are usually the cases that become severe and critical, right? Because they stay in an abusive relationship hoping that their abuser will change. He's not going to do it no more. Or more than that, I'm not going to do whatever I did to piss him off anymore. So you don't do that. He likes to watch Channel 11. Your shows come on Channel 7. But you stop watching and leave and let him control the television. I'm minimizing it, but sometimes abuse can be just as simple. And you say, you know what? I'm never going to change the TV channel again. We're going to watch whatever he wants to watch. Guess what happens? The abuser then finds something else that's going to tick him off, that make him snap off on you, because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about them. They have issues that they need to deal with. So no matter how much you change, if a person is a person that wants to fight and beat on you, they're going to find a reason to fight and beat on you. And they're going to blame it on you. Well, you know that sets me off. I've seen it. Oh, you know I was drinking. When I'm drinking, that's how I act. So stop drinking. But what's the saying? An alcoholic speaks the truth, right? They do things
that they...
You know, so, no, it's not the alcohol. Or if it is, if that really is your trigger, then and you really love this person, then stop the drinking. You know, there's always going to be a trigger, but it's up to us to say, being hit hurts. Let me just start there. Being hit hurts. I do not like physical pain. I have a low tolerance for pain. I don't even want to fight. Like, I believe that I probably can still throw a good one if somebody stepped to me. But I don't want to. I'm old, I'm tired, and being hit hurts. So,
Yes, I don't think nobody want to get hit.
Right? You don't want to get hit. You didn't want to get that spanking
of
that ass beating that
really
we talked
don't.
About when
I mean,
we were younger.
I mean, can I get some ass whoopings? Yeah,
right.
I don't want to get hit.
So
well, I'm getting old. I mean, the healing is it hurts.
Right. It takes longer now. So why stay? It fucking hurts, not just mentally. It hurts physically. We take longer to heal. And the longer you take in to heal, every time you feel that bump or that bruise, there's that memory. It's natural. There's that memory. It's going to be triggered. I'm telling you. And if you do want to stay and you see that first sign, I'm telling you, that first sign of abuse, you got to knock that motherfucker cold out.
What?
<I'm so serious. laughs>
What?
Sorry, Dakisha came out again.
You said knock the what? What?
I digress. Sorry, oh. You know I'm from the hood. But you know,
There it goes. Now he's on the ground holding his hold. He's knocked out. Now, you know, oh, God. Another scene I thought about was Money Mike. He's like, did you pee on me?
Right. And you know, the way I was raised was that you better not come home and tell me nobody beat your ass. So I carry that into my relationships. You can't beat my ass. I can't go home and tell my mother that he beat my ass. She gonna send me right back outside, right back home. Out. You better beat your husband's ass. So I can't. And that's where that just came from. I'm sorry. I digressed a little bit.
Yeah, that sounded like you need the therapy couch. What happened?
Ooh, yeah.
Go ahead. What happened? What'd he do?
Right.
Or maybe we should be asking, is he good? I mean,
seriously. You should be asking, right? Yeah, because when I was in a bad relationship and he started calling around, calling people crying, they was like, damn, what you do to her? You know?
Hold on. Stop.
What?
Are you telling me that he was calling around asking, crying,
Well, no, not because I had beat him up or anything.
Hold up. So are you admitting to you being the abuser?
I'm not the abuser.
Are you the abuser? Newsflash, ladies and gentlemen. Pause. Wait a minute.
I am not the abuser, but I will not be abused.
Diamond D has admitted to being the abuser. Wait a minute.
I am not the abuser, but I promise you I will not be abused. And that's the I hate you. Any audience. Over the abuser, man. I'm not the abuser, but I will not be abused. I am the most loving, nurturing, giving, kind woman that you will come across. I am the woman that's going to get up in the middle of the night and fix you a plate. I really am. If you deserve it. That's if you go to work every day. Now, if I go to work every day and your ass been home living your pipe dreams and developing a plan, no, I'm not getting into
this. Please stop. You're doing shade. Oh. I know what
but
you
if
just
you...
did.
I really hope you grab that for a clip. I know what you
mean. Oh, Lord have mercy.
But if you are a man
that
deserves, I am a nurturer. But I am also a very strong person. And I think sometimes being so nurturing and so loving, people mistake me for a punk. Not just men, women, too. I laugh. I crack jokes. I'm happy-go-lucky. So, and it's happened my whole life. It's happened my entire life. So I've had to prove, you know, myself a few times. Even as far back as the eighth grade when I first came to live with my dad and I went to Hawthorne Avenue School. This girl, Shonda, picking on me all the time. Till finally I was like, you know what? I said to my brother, I'm going down the street tomorrow morning before I go to school. I'm going to beat Shonda's ass, and then I'm going on to school. And he's like, well, I'm going to come with you. And I did. I waited on Shonda's porch. I beat her ass. Her mother came, and she tried to jump in. So my brother grabbed the mother, and he put her ass in a headlock, and he over there, boop, 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 boop. It was the
what the hell kind of family you got over there? What the hell?
A protective family. But she took me as a punk ass because I was articulate. You know, I dressed well. I got good grades. I'm a girl. I'm coming over to Hawthorne. She didn't like me. She didn't like me, so she thought I was a punk ass, so she kept picking on me. It's the same thing in a relationship or a friendship or people that don't know you. They pick on weak, what they think are weaker people. I said all of that to say is that an abuser will pick on you if they think you're weak. You have to go in. It's just like with them kids. You got to show your kids who's boss from the womb.
You got to show them who's boss
out the gate.
No, wait, hold up. This is for Miss Diamond real quick. Hold up real quick. We're not going to do this, damn it. You better be careful what you say to me. I'm sorry. I had to go there. Right now, we all know, listen to this show, you do not mess with Diamond's family or her. Because they're going to be coming there putting your mother in headlocks. You're waiting on your porch. I mean, damn.
Take it easy.
Your brother put the mother in the headlock? You couldn't even find another
way? Well, the mother jumped into the fight. What had happened was,
really,
this is a true story.
I remember when she kept taking on me because she thought I was weak.
Take it away from the point. She thought I was weak. And because she thought I was weak, she kept picking on me. And I couldn't take it anymore. So I went. Of course, my brother's not going to let me go to her house by myself. I'm doing a house call. You can't do house calls alone. I'll tell you a story next week about how my daughter and I did a house call together. The girl kept picking on her.
Another show, another episode. That's another show alone. I mean, God, you gave me material already. I'm writing all this down. This is beautiful.
It's not beautiful. The point is, when you carry yourself a certain way, people think you're weak, and then they tend to take advantage. You heard it before. They take your kindness for weakness, and people do that. Abusers do that in a relationship. You will have one person in a relationship with two different people, and they're going to react differently. That weaker person may get, if it's an abuser, that weaker person is going to be abused. That stronger person, they're going to step to, and they're going to get kicked damn near through the window or hammer fisted on the way down the stairs, and they're not going to bother you no more. You have got to stand your ground out the gate.
I agree. In all seriousness, you're 100% correct on that. But I have seen the abused, especially women. Men, let me tell you something. She's cooking for you. Want her to cook for you? You want to keep on messing with her and abusing her? I would highly advise against doing that. First of all, you got the ingredients already. Ladies and gentlemen that listen to the Unconcealed Talk Show, listen, do not listen to Diamond on that note. First of all, I didn't even finish this sentence. You already got antifreeze, odorless, and tasteless.
Listen.
I just realized when I came to the Mellow Monday show and y'all fed me food. Let me make sure I was on your good side.
You're always on our side.
Okay, a little dip of this antifreeze right here. Look green. Why is it green? But seriously, fellas. You gotta understand, it's only but so much a woman's gonna take. I think there's a song, I hate to say it, somebody else probably wrote it, When a Woman's Fed Up by the presently incarcerated R. Kelly. He's on bail?
He went up for bail. I don't know if he got it or not, but yeah, he'll probably get it now.
I mean, anyway, that's another story. But, fellas, you got to understand, it's like a bully. You can't keep on messing with someone.
And expect them not to be mad.
Exactly. And that's scary. When you have that quiet, docile woman who's put up with all your abuse and BS, everyone has a pushing point. You could be asleep. She can cut your throat. Ask Mr. Bobbitt. What happened to him? Exactly. But men, you gotta understand, there's something called karma. We talked about it on our show before about karma. You can't keep doing the things you're doing and expect to get away with it, because there's gonna be a point it stops. I mean, and when we go into the 8 o'clock hour, we're gonna talk about some of the solutions or maybe suggestive things to do to try to get out of it. Because like you said, Diamond, it's hard for a lot of people to get out of these type of relationships because, you know, you have women or maybe somebody who grew up a certain way who didn't have certain financial stability in their life. And I've seen tons of men. I've been around tons of men. They've even bragged about it. Oh, she knows what it is.
Really?
I give her these cars, or I got this, I'm giving her this. Oh, she's going to do what I want, you know. It's money. Because, you know, a lot of guys make jokes like, why is she with him? And there's a reason, you know, because they're trying to make up. They feel, I didn't have it. Well, if I leave, I mess up, I'm not going to get this no more. Or for status quo, or like you said earlier, it's about children. And that's the most famous one right there alone. You you know, so definitely I want to dive into that at the 8 o'clock hour. But, yeah, fellas, you got to understand, these women, your significant other, they're going to tolerate your BS for so long, especially
who,
and with the, and I'm not going to say the antifreeze.
No, and another thing, and then I'm gonna ask if we can do something a little bit different on our way into the 8 o'clock hour. Maybe we can take a little song break, give people opportunity to step away and come back and be ready for 8. But also, a chocolate cake, ladies, they have but there is a chocolate laxative. So if you don't want to hurt, if you don't want to kill them with. You want to play the song and we take a little break and come back at 8 o'clock?
Well, first of all, I mean, counseling.
I'm just giving ingredients for chocolate cake. And if you don't want to necessarily.
Damn chocolate cake you're talking about. This is
you make them a
scary.
Chocolate cake and you put X-Lax. You melt the X-Lax down in it. And you only need, you know, the chocolate ones. Yeah, and you take the whole pack and then you mix it in with the chocolate. And then you give him his favorite chocolate cake.
So you want to do a music break and let them breathe?
A little bit. That's okay.
I'm scared and I'm shocked. Okay. All right. Well, I think with that being said, we'll take a quick music break.
No, it's already 8 o'clock. I missed my time.
Well, damn that music break, because you need to elaborate on this. First of all, you're too damn knowledgeable.
Yeah, I didn't realize I missed my time. Well,
no, you're too knowledgeable about this. This is a different
dialogue. Yeah, this is a different.
First of all, you know these techniques. You talked about going to people's houses. We will have a topic on bullying. We will.
Yes.
Stalking, bullying.
I love bullying.
Fatal Attraction. That's going to be another show down the line. We will have that show. Okay,
so
you say, it's a little too damn eager.
But there's things that you have right in your kitchen, ladies. And I don't really, you know, I'm not condoning, you know, poisoning people or things like that. But, you know, the point is, and like you said, cooked up in the kitchen. Things can be cooked up in the kitchen, and nobody's going to continue to just be abused forever. And there's things, so be careful. It's the same thing. Simple example, you go out to a restaurant. You don't cuss that waiter out before you, or waitress out before you get your food.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you.
It's the same concept.
Thank you.
You don't mess
love
with somebody.
Love my missus, love my wife to death. But I don't want to be too critical about the food.
No,
you gotta serve my food.
Right. You have. I'm not being too. And I love my food. Clearly, everybody knows I love food because you've seen me. So I like food. There's no shame in my game. But you know, there's everybody has a breaking point. So a tea full of battery acid, aspirin.
Oh God! I don't know what tonight. You on the dark side? I don't know if we should ever do this topic again. Wait a minute.
But I'm just letting the guys know that stop picking on people, and then they do stuff like this. They beat the brakes off of somebody, and then go in here and fix my food. Okay, honey, I got you.
Mm.
5 cigarettes or a half a cigar contain enough nicotine to kill off your whole character.
First of all, fellas, I need y'all to hear this loud and clear. Again, please understand, if your woman's quiet and docile, do not think that she's not planning her exit or your exit. So you really need to rethink of your tactics. Understand there's a consequence to everything, because the person could be very professional, be very well-spoken, God-fearing, church every week. You keep on poking at the bear, she's going to bite. So, you know, please understand that. And be very afraid. Very afraid, as I am right now of Diamond. Be very afraid.
I knew you were going to say that. Don't be afraid of me.
I have some fear going down.
But I am that woman that you described. I'm God fearing. I'm educated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm professional.
Mm-hmm.
But don't bother me. I don't start trouble with anybody. I don't deserve to be abused any kind of way. Honestly, you can't even yell at me in a relationship and not have me have a major meltdown. Now, my major meltdown probably won't be crying. That's just not it. But my father. I want to talk about this a little bit.
Okay.
Father figures. My father cherished me. He loved me. I was his princess. He wasn't a man. He isn't a man of many words, but he made sure I knew he loved me. Every school play, playing the flute, doing whatever, singing, doing whatever, even listening to the Diamond D Show, my father was there, okay? So with
awesome.
That being said, having that strong father figure, I knew that I deserved what I deserved. Not saying I didn't tolerate some things that I knew I deserved better, but I believed I could fix them. I'll fix them. You understand what I'm saying? But I always,
right.
even in that those I'll fix him relationships, they knew how to talk to me. They knew how to treat me because there's only but so much I'm going to tolerate. You know, I dated one guy years ago, and he was like, yeah, because Daddy Warbucks got you thinking you special. You goddamn right he got me thinking I'm
That's
special.
Right.
And if you don't think that
That's
I'm special
right.
too, be gone. That's
say
it.
That
so,
again. I'm sorry. Say that again. Some people need to hear that. Some people need
you
to
know,
hear that.
Your father's got you thinking that you're special. I am special. And if you don't feel that way about me, you need to be gone. I know I'm special. And men, we need you to instill that. I don't care how much you don't like your baby mama. I don't care. But what you need to do is instill the values in your daughters. And if you screwed up and you didn't do it with your daughter, fix it with your granddaughter. Do better by them because we're getting old, so I got to speak to the grandparents as well as the parents. You know, there's always time to do better. At some point, break the pattern. Fix it. Just fix it. Don't have your children, your girls especially, out here just thinking any old shit is okay. You know, you don't do anything for them. You don't show up to any events. You didn't go to the father-daughter dance or whatever it is. You didn't support her cheerleading. You didn't encourage her. You didn't tell her she was beautiful. Everything that you don't do, she's going to fall in love with somebody, and she's going to have zero expectations because daddy didn't show her how a man is supposed to love a woman. Not in the intimate sense, but into instilling pride in her.
That's right. That is right.
I see it.
And you know, and listen, I want to kind of piggyback on that. Fellas, listen, if you have a situation with your baby mother, whatever, I mean, you know, well, first of all, you guys made the decision to sleep with each other. It is what it is. Y'all had that physical attraction at the time, and the child came from it. Because you guys don't get along, don't take that out on her. You don't like her.
Mm-hmm.
Don't disrespect her. You know, to the kids, you know. I mean, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's y'all relationship. Y'all have a bad relationship. It is what it is. It happens. But y'all have to co-parent for that child. That does not give you a pass. You know, she kicking it. Listen, I hear women talk about the fathers and men all the time. All the time. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that, fellas. You don't have to sit there. Because that's another form of domestic violence. First of all, you got the child in the middle. Both of y'all idiots. Got both the child in the middle. And y'all, you know, kicking the back end of the other parent. First of all, somebody got to stop. Fellas, I'm going to talk to my men. I'm not saying, no, I mean, not say men. I'm going to talk to the fellas. Because, you know, boys, one thing. Fellas, as a male, and men understand where I'm coming from. So I'm talking to the fellas and the males. The men understand where I'm coming from at this point. Because you don't have that relationship with her, and that's fine. But if y'all have a child together, that does not give you the right to disrespect that woman to that child. It does not. Because what are you teaching them? You're teaching now them this is okay to do that. So they're growing up with that mindset. You gotta cut that shit out. You have to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta say, you know what? Listen, you know, how's your mom doing? You gotta still embrace that. And if it's especially she's a girl, if you have, you know, fellas, you have a daughter. Show her you love her. Tell her you love her. Tell her she's beautiful. Embrace that beauty about her. Tell her she's special every time she's around. Oh, Dad, you say that too much. It's okay. But I guarantee she can remember that every time, like Ms. Diamond alluded to and said, because her father's made sure that she knew that. She understood where that love come from. So now she expects that from the person that she's with because Dad has set that precedence. Dad has set that level. And it's okay. And if any man has an issue with that because your dad or someone else set a precedence or you spoiled, you know what? He's not the man for you. He is not the man for you. If anything, he should be looking at that father or that person that gave you that glow and say, you know what? I need to be like that. Not, you know, if it's the father, that's one thing. Or maybe she I've been talked to, in all due respect, to widows. I've heard women talk about their past, and some men got intimidated by the memory of the widow of their ex. Fellas, it's not that she wanted to lose a good man. She was sharing some of his good qualities because she's seen maybe something in you that can come out. Embrace that, and then also bring your own to the table. So respect mm-hmm. that. So when a woman is telling you about the things that makes her happy, things that made her feel a certain way, embrace it. Do not discount it. You know, right. Do not shoot her down, because that's part of the domestic violence on a mental level. Because what's happened is, if it's important to her in her mind and she's expressing it to you on a mental level, an emotional level, you have to support that. You have to believe that. You have to embrace that. You know, you can't just shoot her down, because that's another part of the domestic violence aspect of it. You just can't mm-hmm. do that. You gotta support it. Show love. Because domestic violence is also mental as well. Mentally, you can really mess your spouse up. I mean,
yeah.
And I know we haven't even touched on that yet. The mental part of it. I mean, I know you got a bunch. Well, first of all, we're not going to be threatening to kill nobody no more, are we?
the verbal abuse, right, usually is what ties into. So number there's a few things that can tie into it, into the mental aspect. Just doing mean shit, you know. So things that you know that person doesn't like, or just torturing them, not physically, but just doing little things. To really just mess with them, because and sometimes they go hand, most times they go hand in hand. But that verbal abuse, this may seem fairly obvious, but some people that are victims of abuse do not realize when verbal abuse, when they experience it. Verbal abuse can be demeaning or degrading comments, insults, or remarks that make you feel hurt. Those are signs of abuse. If your partner is degrading or telling you that you're lazy or stupid, you know, they're talking about your physical characteristics, all of that is verbal, and it goes on and on and on. They try to disguise their abuse in a form of jokes. You know what else a form of mental abuse, or these mind games that abusers play because they're intimidated?
I'm glad you're talking about it. Talk about it.
When you are working to better yourself, right? So if you're going for, a different position on your job, I don't know why you're going for that. You ain't going to get that. You're not smart enough. Or you're trying to lose weight. I don't like you skinny. I like you the way you were. I met you this kind of way. That's the way you need to be. No, you should love me for me, but I'm trying to better myself. You don't want that, because they're weak. They don't want the better you. They want the weak you. They don't want your self-esteem to be increased. They don't want you to get that better job, because then you're not dependent on them financially. There's subtle abuses, mentally abusive things going on, you know, and those are just as bad. People think, oh, it's not physical. Just because it's not physical doesn't mean it's not harmful. You know, a lot of abusers, they will play on your self-esteem. Oh, this, you don't know nothing about that. Nobody else going to want you. I'm the only one. You know, it hurts, and it plays on your entire self-esteem if you let it. But it's just
That's as bad
as physical abuse, and that right there you have to get out of too. Sometimes physical abuse is worse. Mental abuse is worse than physical abuse, because how do you combat it? How do you combat mental abuse or verbal abuse? It's harder. Physical abuse, like
it
you
is.
Said, you have to knock that motherfucker square out. But how do you combat verbal abuse? It's really hard.
Because you could put an ice pack and a Band-Aid on a wound, and it will heal. But that you can't put that on your emotional, your mental scars, because that goes on for years, and you know, I'm glad you touched on that, because you know, you have these men, they do that, and I mean, I'm speaking from being around men that's done that, who actually I've got away from those jokers. I mean, that negativity in those people in that cipher, because it still happens. You have men that actually glorify, well, you know, I want her to be like this, because they're afraid to lose you.
Mm-hmm,
that fear,
mm-hmm.
that coward factor again. I'm going back to that coward factor. They're afraid to lose you, because you can do better. And they know that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, and
mm-hmm.
again, it goes back to control. They think,
right.
okay, well, if she loses weight, I'm gonna lose her. I lose that control, and they can't control the narrative, and that's their cowardice. That's their fear they have, you know. So yeah, it comes back to with those type of men. If you're trying to better yourself, ladies, and that man has found a fault with everything you do instead of being supportive, that's a coward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say it.
And
again, if anybody got an issue with any men got an issue with what the hell I have to say, the number is 515-596-595-8127. We can gladly have a dialogue.
Oh, shit, now. He's feeling passionate.
No, I'm sorry, Don. It pisses me off because I've been around some cowards like that, and
mm-hmm.
and they can kick fucking rocks, you know.
Yeah.
I love my family. I hate men that hurt women, and I hate mm-hmm. women or men that misuse the system and they weaponize domestic violence, you know, with restraining orders and hurt the man or woman
yeah.
because, you know, they weaponize it. They use
mm-hmm.
it as a target. Well, you do this, I'm going to call the police. So it's like kind of
yeah.
a reverse form of domestic violence and
mm-hmm.
mental abuse.
It is.
Or physical.
And I was gonna say that because a lot of times women, being the weaker sex physically, overall, in general, right, a lot of times we abuse men verbally. Our tongues can be lethal.
Ooh.
And so I think
Ooh.
That more men experience a mental abuse. Some women are just nasty. They just mean and nothing.
Come on, give me some examples. I love this part. Give me some examples.
You know,
I love this part.
Don't do this.
Give me some examples.
But, you know, nothing that, because they're scorned by the last man or scorned by whatever it is in their past growing up, they take issue. They may have a really great man, but because he's not very aggressive, I'm going to say, they just physically, mentally, I'm sorry, abuse him, tear down everything he does, everything he wears, you know, everything that he attempts to do, he's not good enough. And normally, it's the person that has issue or had issue in their past relationships. Now they're bringing that over here, and they're tearing you down because they're still angry. You got to let go of that. You got to let go of that. And I see a lot of mean-ass women. Stop being mean.
Yes, I personally,
and
I know some.
And don't have to stay. You get a dime piece. You got a dime piece. You got somebody that you think is beautiful that you could not get her. You know, she's the woman of your dreams physically. But then you meet her, you wine and dine her, you treat her right, you know, you start doing things together and for one another, and then she just starts to lash out for no reason. You see it in the movies, you see it in real life. That's verbal, that's mental abuse. But a lot of men stay, and they stay for the same reasons that women stay. They're embarrassed, or they think they won't find anybody else as attractive or anybody else that's going to want them, so they stay. It's so many forms of abuse out here, but we have to, and before we wrap up, we have to talk about ways to get out of these abusive relationships.
Agreed.
You know, number one, realize that you are in an abusive relationship. Face it. It is what it is. It's an abusive relationship. You know, the first sign to recovery is admitting you're an alcoholic. So the first sign to fixing anything is acceptance, and you have to first accept and realize that you're in an abusive relationship. And a lot of people are in complete denial because of what? Because they're embarrassed to admit it, you know. And then go to your support system. And that's hard for a lot of people. You don't have the brothers that'll talk about you. You don't have the father, the mom. You know, the sisters or whomever, you have to build a support system. You see on social media, Mr. Nass, people talk to myself, I roll by myself, because you see people talk like that all the time. I don't be with nobody.
Yes.
I don't have no friends. That's unfortunate. Everybody, we were not created to be alone. We were not created to not have friends. And so for those people, I feel like they have a different issue, but then you're so busy out here, you bragging that you roll on your own, your circle's so small. You know, you see all of that. You see all of those statements. I don't think anybody's happy to not have friends. But for those who pretend that they are, what do you do when you need somebody to talk to? Who do you go to when you need some support in any kind of situation? Specifically today we're talking about, you know, domestic violence. Who do you go to? Stop bragging about not having any friends. You better get you a friend. You better get you a friend. You better get a support system. My support system is deep. You know, I got different friends for different reasons, but my support system is deep, and I think because I'm a supportive person, people tend to support me, and I appreciate that. And again, everybody doesn't need to know my business, but I've got, you know, at least two friends that I can go to, and I can tell them anything, and I know that they're not going to judge me, but they're going to help me fix whatever situation I'm in. We all need that.
That's right. That's right.
Gosh, there's so many steps to it.
I mean, this topic, we knew that this topic was going to be a strong topic. We knew there's so many dimensions and aspects of domestic violence, from the mental to the emotional, you know, from it's hard to get out to the signs of it, and you know, just another way of just trying to get out of it, you know, if you don't have no friends, because, you know, there's a lot of men that will purposely keep you away from your family, your friends, move you out
factor.
The state, and that's a control issue. That's a control and power issue. If, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a victim of domestic violence and you said enough is enough, whether it's your kids, whether you're just tired of being hurt physically and mentally, you know, there's a hotline. I mean, I want to put this hotline out there, if you don't mind, Diamond. I want to put this out there. The Domestic Violence National Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. Again, that National Domestic Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. Now, also in the state of New Jersey, I'm kind of, you know, giving some resources at this point, you know, because I believe in being empowering as well as supportive. Almost every county have what they call a domestic violence response team. Some counties in different states share the same team, but you can call your local police or contact your local city hall and ask about that. What happens is these are not just police officers. There's also civilians that works in the response team that deals with this specific issues. Get a restraining order. Do what you have to do to get out. Because at the end of the day, it's about you getting confidence and you being happy with yourself. Happy with yourself. You can't love nobody else unless you love yourself first. And love should not hurt. It does not require stitches, mental abuse. If you can't sleep at night and you just feel pain and you just have uneasy feelings, that you need to look at your relationship and get out. You know what I mean? I know it sounds easy, but I know it's probably not. So, you know, we are begging you and asking you, those listening, you know, we hope it reach some people. Do what you have to do. That number is there. Every police station have one nationally. If not, go to local church, anybody. If it doesn't even have to be your church, say help. Just say it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone.
Yeah. And I just put on the Unconcealed Talk Show is how you can find us on Facebook. I just put the link to the National Domestic Violence Hotline on that page. And I wish that there was no one to reach. That means that I wish that there was no one going through this. But the reality of it is that there's many people experiencing domestic violence. So we want to help. And, of course, we always like to have fun, even through our serious topics. And that's what we're always going to do. We're going to laugh, you know, and smile while we address these serious topics. Some more serious than others. But, you know, we don't want to. We talked about it the other night. You can't get through to anybody. If we just sit up here and we talk statistics and facts to you, and we don't talk real life experience, you want to turn us off. But perhaps through real life experiences and laughing, you know, and then really still touching on the seriousness of these topics that will reach somebody. Like I said, for this particular topic, I really wish there was no one to reach, but it's the opposite. You probably have somebody at work, one of your friends, somebody that's going through some type of domestic violence, and you may not know, or you might know and say, I'm a mind my business. Please don't mind your business. I'd rather have a friend pissed off and not speaking to me for a while rather than them not knowing that, look, I know what you're going through, and I want you to get out, and you can come here. You got me to help you. That's what I prefer. And they may say, mind your damn business, and that's okay, because eventually they're going to come around. And don't be offended when they tell you to mind your business. They're going through something.
I think you did an awesome job. My God. You scared me, but I think you did an awesome job.
I'm sorry.
I really do.
But also, when you get out, stay out. Stay out. Once you get out, stay out. That's it. You go back, it starts over. Don't fall for the okie doke. Once you get out, you better stay gone. Don't call me if you go back. No, I'm playing. But no, once you get out, because now they're pissed off. Now they're pissed off. So once you get out, stay out. And again, I really, really, really hope that we were able to reach somebody that knows somebody or somebody directly, whatever it is. It is National Domestic Violence Awareness.
That's right. Like, oh my God, this, you know, we have our conversations. Do you know time flies always?
Always.
It literally always flies.
These therapy sessions are awesome.
I know, but I've learned so much about you. I've learned not to mess with you. I know that you'll do walk-bys and house run-bys. I see that. Your brother put people in, and then mamas in headlocks. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
Really?
One day I'll get the whole family on the phone. I'll just get the whole family.
You know what? Restraining orders.
Yeah, I'll just have the whole family call it. And the funny thing is about my family, you know, you hear about families like, yeah, I fought my brother and all. We don't do that. We might get annoyed with one another, but we don't fight each other. We don't do that.
I don't know. Me and my sister, we had a game. We called it the sneak game. We used to sneak each other every morning. It was kind of sick, but, you know, we did that. It was fun. Good times.
Okay. So on that note, what's coming up on that show?
All right. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we, again, for those who tuned in, we had a very strong conversation surrounding domestic violence. I mean, it's so wide open. It's so many aspects of domestic violence. But, you know, like Diamond said, you know, do the best you can to get out. I mean, it's not always easy, but do the best you can. But, however, we wanted to talk about, of course, we want to keep on pushing the initiative and the empowerment of what Diamond's got coming up. Diamond, what is up?
I love it.
What's going on with the movement?
Okay. So an update on For Women by Women. We have officially... we have our four women and our DJ. So, unfortunately, everybody couldn't be here this week. So, that's a blessing. And the reason why everybody couldn't be here this week, because every week one of us is doing something positive. So, we're still trying to iron out the date where you'll get to meet everybody. Paula Jernigan, who's in charge of charitable affairs. You got Thelma Ramsey, DJ. She wasn't there this week, so you still have to call her Miss Thelma. But DJ T. Ramsey, who's partnering and co-chairing with me, Paula, Denise, that's me, y'all, Diamond. And then we also have our DJ Shonda Trent, DJ Shonda T, who's going to handle our music and entertainment. But For Women by Women is a platform. It's a networking platform. So what we're going to do is be partnering with women of color to make sure that we are able to offer. I have a pool of services. So if you want a service, you're going to come to For Women by Women, and we're going to have a pool of resources for you. And then we're also going to uplift and inspire and encourage our youth. So we're going to work with our youth to instill leadership values in them. I'm really excited. So we're working right now on just our marketing. Right now we're still in the marketing phases. We plan on rolling everything out in the month of November, and, you know, the mission statement has been developed and approved by all of us. So in November we'll be rolling it out and inviting everyone to our first brunch, which is going to be March 14th of 2024, Women by Women.
Awesome. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we support, you know, everything that Diamond D is doing, of course, the lovely ladies. Diamond, when are we going to have the ladies on the show?
I was hoping for next week, but somebody else has something to do. So we have our email going. In all honesty, with the holiday coming up, it's probably going to be the first Wednesday in December. I know you're probably saying, why so far out? But by then, we will have rolled out the network completely, we will be able to talk about some of the resources, some of the women that we have connected with. We'll be able to more concretely give you a way to get in touch with us, let you know what our social media contacts are. So before we come on and we just start yapping, we want to make sure that we are solid, you know, because this is a real thing. So we don't want to come on and just take up airtime. We want to make sure that we're solid and have enough information to share with our listeners before we do so. So prayerfully, it will be the first Wednesday of December.
Well, awesome. Listen, give me a quick little 5 seconds in on the final comments. What do you have?
So final comments is, again, don't be ashamed. You know, if you are in a domestic violence situation, be it verbally, physically, emotionally, just get out, talk to somebody, find a friend. If you don't have a friend, we did post the National Domestic Violence Hotline on Unconcealed Talk Show page. Talk to somebody. There is support. Even if you can't get out tomorrow or next week, develop a plan, find a support system, and just get out. It is for your safety. No one is worth it.
I think that's good. That's well said. With that being said, everyone, please have a blessed evening. And whatever you do, stay blessed and favored. We out. God bless.
Out. Catch you next week.